ever. Anyways, I'm Karma.
I'm Will.
I'm Scott L.
And we're Ghostly Talk, broadcasting every Sunday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. And we have a lot to talk about, don't we?
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about, actually. It's been quite a week.
Yes, it has.
We've been all over the place doing all sorts of things. But tonight, however, we are missing one person.
Yes, and that is Doug.
His grandfather passed away this morning, and he is spending time with his family. So we are not broadcasting from the Haunted Basement Studios as usual.
No, we are in the dungeon at St. Clair Shores, Michigan, with the Hounds of Hell sitting next to us. Again, this is where we were at last week, actually.
We're in the
Harry. When you guys were up north. But, hey, it's a team. I say we as in the whole damn team all the time, no matter if you guys are here or not.
Yeah, it's the Harry dungeon.
Yeah, there is a lot of hair down here.
Scary hair.
And you're sitting right next to the steak, too.
Yeah.
Look at her. She likes you.
I know.
Isn't she
Hi,
cute?
Satan.
That's not Satan.
I know. I'm joking.
That's Astrid. That's not Satan.
I know.
It's my snake
Astrid. I don't know. I just see snakes and I think of Satan.
Oh, great. Unfortunately, we did have a death in the family, the Ghostly Talk family, this week. Actually, today, this morning. Actually, while we were sitting at dinner last night at the Holly Hotel, his grandpa passed away.
Oh, was it?
About 9:30 last night.
9:35, to be exact.
Yeah, 9:35, exactly, while we were sitting there having dinner, enjoying that fine, fine meal we're going to talk about next week, because we got a lot to cover outside of that this week. Yeah, Doug's grandpa wasn't doing too well. We knew about that last night, and he could have been shooting back any time last night if this something would have went down, but he didn't hear anything, and I got the call today. When I was at my parents' house, from Doug, of course. And the first thing, the funniest part is his main concern was Ghostly Talk. That was the amazing thing. I'm like, man, you know, I'm like, what? Oh my God, I'm sorry. He's like, well, listen, dude, I'm not gonna be able to do your show. You know, what are we gonna do? I'm like, dude, shut your hole. I go, we can take care of it here. Don't worry about a thing. It's fine. Just you take care of your family. That's the number one thing I want you to take care of right now. And we'll swing it at my house again tonight. You know, so that's what we're doing right now. But, yeah, we're all pretty much in shock right now. I know I am. Because, I mean, I've met his grandpa a couple times. And
myself,
too. He was a really super cool
guy. Never met him. But.
Yeah, he was just like Doug, kind of, but an older version of him. He kind of had the same attitude, the same happy-go-lucky, you know, everything we see is for the first time attitude. And, yeah, it's a really shame. It's a real shame to see him go. But you know, at the same time, depending on what your beliefs are, some people are happy right now, which we are happy at the same time because we know he's in a better place, and he is at peace. That's the number one thing that we want to be concerned with right now. So Doug's doing all right, though. I know there's probably a few people out there that are concerned. So he's cool. He's doing well, you know. And I had a nice long talk with him and his mother and dad today, and everything's cool. Like I said,
when I talked to him earlier, he seemed kind of like, you know, like he was doing fine. But like he said, there's a shock that, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of like.
I mean, at risk, you know, I want to talk about this at risk, but I also don't want to pry Doug's head either.
Right.
I mean, we know all of us sitting here right now, and probably all you people out there in radio land know how it feels to lose a loved one like this, and what you have to go through. And I'm sure we'll talk about a lot of that here tonight, you know, because it directly correlates into what. With what we're doing, this is what it's all about, actually, you know, because there's another person right there that knows what happens now.
Right.
There's another person right there that knows what happens, and that's one of the things, you know, as far as, you know, Will, Karma, and myself sitting down here right now, and Doug also, I mean, that's one thing that we're happy about is that there's somebody that we know that does know what's going on after death.
And hopefully they'll always come back to visit.
Mm-hmm. They will. I know they do. I know I found out for a fact that my grandparents and, well, my Grandpa Lambert and my Grandma Herring and my Uncle Wayne, my closest relatives that have passed away in the recent years, I know they're with me for a fact. And the funniest thing was, and I'm not going to say too much about this because I did have a sit-down with one of our friends, and that's the one thing that she said about, well, she mentioned it about my parents because my parents visit their graves a lot more than I do. And the first thing they said, they're like, why do you keep going there? You don't need to go there to see me. I'm with you all the time, no matter what. So just don't worry about going there. You know, my mom likes to go there, and I like to go there, too. So does my dad. But that's one of the big things. They're like, we're with you all the time, no matter what.
And you got to look at it this way. They've left their body. They're probably not even by their body, you know.
No, why would you want to look at that anyways?
Right.
I hate my body already, and I'm alive. So, you know, that is an interesting point, Karma. I mean, that's something to think about, too. But Doug's doing well, though. He's doing well. He's fine. He'll be okay. We're going to have the Cowboys keeping an eye on the house all week and all that stuff. And, yeah, that's what you do. That's what Ghostly Talk does. We know that for a fact, is that when something like this happens or somebody can't do something, we all pull together and we keep the train rolling, so to say. So that's what we're doing tonight. So out there, you know, people out there that have met Doug or listen to this show every week, I really would appreciate it if you maybe, depending on what you believe in or what you are into, you know, just take a few minutes out for Doug if you don't mind. I'd really appreciate it. I know Will and Karma would too. If you guys don't mind that, we would like you to do that. As a matter of fact, I think we should do that here on the show.
Yeah.
I think we should do that right now here on the show. I think we're going to take about 1 minute of complete silence for Doug's grandpa. Okay? So I'm going to pull the levels down for about a minute here. And we're not going to say a damn thing. All right?
Sounds good.
Alrighty.
I think that's like the first dead air that actually made sense on this show.
Yeah.
Of the million times we've had dead air on Ghostly Talk.
Like that's the first 15 minutes.
Hey.
That was for everybody who's passed away this last couple of
days.
Yeah,
we condensed it all into a 15-minute block. So, you know, that we hope that takes care of everybody for a while at least.
So what's on the rundown for today's show? We have a lot of...
Shit.
You said poop.
Doug isn't here to punch me in the face.
Good well. For you.
Ow. Ow.
That didn't connect.
That hurt. Are you kidding me? That totally hurt. That totally hurt so much.
Well, as Scott brought it to everybody's attention, that the anniversary of September 11th is coming up. And
Thursday?
Yeah, it's Thursday this year.
Yeah, there's a lot of crap going on. Along with the obvious right now.
Right.
This we have to add that to our list of things to feel crappy about this week. You know. No, there's been a lot of stuff going on. I mean, I know as far as my life goes and people around me, there's just all kinds of, I don't want to call it turmoil, but I'd call it extreme activity.
Yeah.
Just lots of things going on. And like you said earlier when we were setting up for the show, it comes in threes, you know. Frankie from Soul Java passed away 2 weeks ago.
Well, I think I know who the third one might be. My stepdad, they gave him less than 3 months to live, and that was
two months
to go. So, and when we went up north to investigate Heike's tomb, it's, you know, it's evident that it's coming soon. Like, he's talking to his angels or the dead people around him, and my mom, he's doing some really screwy things, and... So that's something that's coming up.
Well, when you're faced with mortality, I imagine you're going to do some screwy things.
Well, he has dementia and he has Alzheimer's. So
that don't help.
Well, when I went, just to give you an example of what was going on, I went over there and he was supposed to be eating and my mom's like, "What are you eating?" And he was eating cigarette butts.
Gross.
Yeah, so
real
and
gross.
he thought he was actually eating food, so.
Well, that's what dementia does to you. How old is he?
He's elderly. He's like 70.
Okay.
So he lived a long.
Yeah, that's a
long life.
Yeah. That's an unfortunate part of life is dementia with a lot of older people. Just speaking from my experience with the retirees, a lot of those people get that now. Thankfully, for example, Doug's grandpa didn't have that.
No.
Doug's grandpa was a very aware man.
His mind was always there.
I mean, unfortunately, I didn't get to see him as much as I would have liked to now, of course, but, yeah, he was goofy, man. He was a goofy guy. He was like Doug, a lot like Doug. I mean, I didn't think about it until this whole thing went down, you know, with Doug and how much those two, their mannerisms and how they operate are the same. You know, I'm sure that's with a lot of people, family. But, yeah, I know we were talking today, actually. I was talking with Doug's mom about this, and we were talking about when, you know, we talked about it a couple weeks ago here on the show about my grandmother. But I never really talked about my grandfather either. Now, I told Doug's mom that, and I told a lot of people this, actually, that's the day when my grandfather passed away, actually, a couple days later at the funeral home. That was the day I actually met mortality and shook it by the hand and said, "Hi, nice to meet you," because I never thought about it until then. And it took me watching my father weeping his eyes out, a man that we've all met numerous times and we know how he is. Just a hard mofo. Just a hard guy. A real quiet guy, hard to read him sometimes, but it was very clear what was going through his mind at that time. And that is a quick way. What the heck was that popping sound? Oh, it was my cup. Yay. That's a quick way for you to meet mortality and understand it and understand what you have to do. I think in this plane of existence, prepare yourself for that next plane of existence too. And I believe that just from things I've had discussions with certain people about, the people that don't do that don't understand mortality and understand that, you know, you're not here forever. And there are certain things that you have to do and accomplish in life, you know, and I'm not talking about making $1 million and buying a house and having a family. I'm talking about being with your family a lot of times and letting them know, not just by, "Hey, I love you." You know, I'm talking about there's certain things, you know, a lot of people say, "Well, it's all about the mind. It's the thought that counts." And that's very important. I agree. But sometimes you really need to step out there and show how you feel to somebody. You know, whether it be a hug or you go fishing with them, like I did with my dad a couple weeks ago, and just sat there with him, you know, and just talked about anything and nothing at the same time. But that goes a lot further than a lot of people think, and that lets someone know that you get to know someone a lot more than that. I never realized how much, you know, I didn't know my dad that well until like the last year, honestly, because I never paid that much attention. He's my dad. "Hey, Dad, what's up? You know, how's work?" "It sucks. You know, it's work. And we never sat and talked about things, you know, about just life and how I should, "What do you think I should do about that, Dad?" You know, what's the first thing I told you guys about when I said I'm buying a house?
"You gotta go talk to your dad."
"I gotta go talk to my dad." Because I didn't come to him. Of course, what's my dad say? "Hey, Dad, I really want to sit down with you and maybe have some dinner and, you know, talk about buying a house." "Okay, how much money you need?" You know, and I'm like, "No, it's not about the money."
That's funny that you say that, because sometimes when I talk to my dad almost every day, sometimes 5-6 times a day, and
really,
sometimes I call out of the blue and I'll be like, "Hey, Dad, what's up?" He's like, "What do you need now?" Actually, I don't need anything.
No, I'm just calling you to say hi.
Yeah.
And see what's up, you know. And I know after we were talking with my grandpa, I know after that situation, there hasn't been a day since then that has gone by that I have not talked to my parents, at least on the phone. Because just some days, it's just, you know, you're too busy. I cannot get over there, you know. But every day, no matter what, I will take 5 minutes out and call my mother. I don't talk to my dad every day, which that's starting to change now, too. Because my old man, he's an old man. "Yeah, you're fine, I'm fine. We're men. We can take care of ourselves."
"Well, I got to call me someone."
"Yeah,
so
you know,
I'm
what,
fine.
Are you one of them funny guys, you know?" I just hear him saying that to me, you know. But my mother is one of those people that needs that. She needs that. I mean, she, and I know women and men are different, too. And my mom, I know for a fact she needs more attention than my dad does. I think my dad is the same way. He just doesn't voice it. He doesn't show it. But that's the thing I was talking about, this thing where you got to show it a little bit more. You got to show it to people a little bit more. My mother is probably one of the most...
You said show it to people.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay. Oh, you want to see it?
No. I've already seen it.
Have you? When?
Oh.
When did you see my junk?
You must have been drunk.
I must have been plowed, man. Was it nice? Did you like it?
I could barely see it.
Shut up!
You should have seen that coming, regardless.
No, she should have. But no, I know my mother. She's probably one of the most loving people you could ever meet. I know that for a fact, and that's why she has no problem at all showing that. Going, Scott, you know, I really miss you. I really want to see you. I mean, there's days back in the day when I first moved out, I didn't talk to my parents every day, and I used to get phone calls from my mom. Man, I really miss you, Scott. I haven't seen you in like a week, and she started crying on the phone. I'm like, Mom, would you just chill? I'm a big boy now. I'm fine. Don't worry about a thing. But after that situation with my dad's dad. I understood it then, and I understood what she was trying to tell me.
Yeah, I think she carried your ass around for 9 months.
Yeah.
You were a part of her.
She spent 52 hours in labor with me.
I can see that.
Shut your mouth. I don't think you have a lot of room to talk here, honey.
Hey, it's all proportionate.
Oh, yeah. We're stuck at the chest. I don't know. We can't get her out. We better get the salad spoons out for this.
I'm sure those didn't grow until she was like 10.
You know what's funny is, it's like, when we went up north on the great adventure for Hokey Stew, we stopped him in the Onaway Bar, and there was this guy I hadn't seen since high school, and I don't even know if he realized who I was or not, but he was so plowed out of his mind. We're standing there, and I had my little white T-shirt on that I wear with my warm-up pants.
It's very nice, yes.
And he turns around, he taps me, he's like, when'd you grow those?
Oh, God.
And you know what the funniest
thing is? You know what the funniest thing is, though, about that? He probably thought that was the smoothest pickup line ever on the face of existence, dude.
Well, you know, farmer people, they talk about things growing and stuff like that. But the funny part about it was, the next day, I seen him in that little convenience store.
And he sobered up.
He was sobered up. I'm like, hey, do you remember you said? And he totally was blowing me off. Like, he didn't even want to talk to me. And
yeah.
I know why, because he was like, yeah. I was like, drunk, man. And an idiot.
Well, yeah. A lot of people don't want to acknowledge that.
He was a typical redhead, redneck looking guy, you know. Kind of like Will. Will, you look...
Well, he's got the Amish beard. You know what? You grew the mustache out now.
You know what? What's funny is when you walked in the bar, people were tapping like, you're Bob, right?
No, they were saying that you're almost as tall as Bob. I'm like,
who's Bob?
Yeah, Kowalski is his
big
name.
Big two-hearted Bob
Kowalski,
or some crap.
And I couldn't think of it till I got back, but
Kowalski.
Kowalski, yeah.
Up north?
Yeah, Kowalski. Ever been to Posen?
Huh?
Ever been to Posen?
Posen.
Posen.
Is that a city?
Yeah, it's a little. Well, it's.
That's in Michigan here.
I think because they had like six more people move into town, it's now gone from village to town. But yeah, there's a lot of Polish
people
that live up. Yeah, you know what's funny is I know a guy actually that graduated from Posen High School, and his graduating class was 26 people. 26 people. I have more people.
You know, you
can
have sex with that many people. You can have sex with your whole graduation class and like get away with it.
And chances are that you probably
are related to all of
them.
Well, yeah.
You're related to
them. Oh, dude.
I didn't know. I didn't
hear the phone call right now from just, you know, civil rights and decency, right? You were making fun of Southern people. Well, first of all, they're not Southerners, technically speaking.
Hey, you know what? I want to show you something, Will.
Uh-oh.
Remember when I got...
Whoa, look at these things. Nice.
Remember when I got gouged out at Hokey Stew?
We were talking about that in the car the other day.
Yeah, and I kept telling you, like, look at it. It looks kind of like a J. You guys are like, no, it looks like an O with an I. It does look like a J now, right here and there.
Yeah.
It does. And I seriously think that I
Jesus.
Was...
Jesus.
Well, I would like to think that it was him more than Mr. Hokey himself.
Well, he was kind of a mean dude. I talked about that last week, actually, for a little while.
Did you?
About Hokey's tomb, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty eerie.
Unfortunately, I think the archive was lost.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know how it is.
But I do want to say that I got some really good pictures from there. And you remember when I kept telling you, well, move out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I kept seeing something through the digital camera lens.
Mm-hmm.
When I took a picture of that, there's an orb right
nice.
There.
At risk of pissing Doug off too much, let's talk a little bit about Hikey's tomb too. Cause I want to get a little bit in on that. I know that we have you're making noise in the mic because this is a little table we're on tonight. So why don't you please be careful, Will?
I'm sorry.
Jesus, man. Go.
Yes. could you see me squirming?
No. I mean, was there anything? I mean, we talked a little bit. Well, it's been kind of a weird week for everybody.
Eerie, let me tell you.
Eerie?
We weren't there for very long, but I do have to.
I didn't want to stay there that long.
No,
there was definitely someone kicking me in the butt, telling me to get the hell out of there. Especially after I got gouged by absolutely nothing that was there.
I do have to say thanks though to Sean Sova and his friends.
Yeah,
because they really took us right there.
Yeah, we would have never found it from the last people that we pulled over driving down the road. It was like, it was 3 miles, would you say about 2 or 3 miles back?
Oh, yeah.
Down this two tracker.
And then it opens up in this big field.
Exactly.
And you can't see where the actual tracks are. Mm-hmm. And he's just like directing me through this field, and then we end up on another two track. And then we ended up getting on this other field, and that's where it was.
Oh. Yeah, and it was really crazy because it was so weird. Everybody that had been out there, the people I had went to school with that had been out there, they had said, you know, exactly what it would do. It would end into this open field. But it wasn't just right off the road like they had said it was. It was like back, way back down these two tracks. And I was with my brother who has a Mustang. And if you guys could have been in the car with him going down this thing. I mean, he had been up and down the two tracks from the night before.
Oh, Larry's Mustang?
Yeah, it was, we heard a little ting, 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 and all the way down there, bottoming out and stuff.
God.
But once we got out there, it was pretty cool. It was like, finally, we're there, you know. And it was pretty cool because if you didn't know exactly what you were looking for or where to go, you wouldn't have found it because there was, like, a lot of tall grass. And
we definitely needed Sean for his tour guide.
Yeah.
When we go back up there in the spring, Sean is definitely going to be our tour guide again.
Oh, jeez.
No, you know what? Honestly, I think I'd get us back there without.
I think going there in the spring would be very, I mean, as if anything, if there's no ghoulies there, it would be very nice up there anyways, just in the springtime.
Well, because all the grass would be matted down. And.
Well, that, and it's just spring. Spring's cool, you know.
Or fall.
Fall would be even nicer, actually.
Yeah, it's just tomorrow.
It's fall tomorrow?
No, I don't know, but I'm saying it's
that close.
It feels
like it out there now, which I'm enjoying.
Yeah, remember how I told you guys that I was out there one time, but I didn't want to go out there, so we left? Well, what are we pointing at?
Pizza. We need a pizza, man.
Well, when we were standing there looking at the top of the well, I specifically remember this guy. It was after the races in Onaway. We went out there, and he goes, here, I want to show you this well. And when I looked at it, it was like deja vu or having a flashback or something. But I don't know, maybe it's all in my head, but it did.
So why was he taking you out in the middle of the woods?
No, it was with a bunch of it was a bunch of people. It was after the Onaway Speedway races. But yeah, the well was pretty cool. It had the Hikey's tomb, 1955, right?
Yes.
But when I took the picture, it says 1952 on the picture.
Did you see?
Look at mine.
Yeah, you know what? You mentioned that on Thursday when we were cruising around.
It said, I remember seeing 1955, but then when I looked at my picture, it says 1952.
I will definitely have to take a look at that. Now, one of the weird things about Hikey's tomb is there's so many different versions of the name on how it's spelled. Some has it being as Hikes, H-I-K-E-S. Some have it as being like Hike Yes, which is H-I-K-Y-E-S, but it's actually H-E-I-K-E-S. Or actually,
J.
It was H-J, which was his initials, and it was H-E-I-K-E, sorry. But, of course, the plural would be, or Hikey's, or for possessions, being his tomb.
Yeah.
So that was a good confirmation for us, and it was something that, you know, I don't think too many our ghost groups have seen, is seeing that the actual correct spelling, because we don't see it on the net, being that way.
I know, it took me a while to find it. I was just trying to get some info last week, just messing around. I heard a story a long time ago. I just wanted to see if there was anything new up there somewhere. And nothing really changed. But, yeah, I totally forgot how to spell it. It was a nightmare.
The Shadowlands. The Shadowlands.
Yeah, that's where I ended up
going. When I had called up there to reserve our campsites, and I had asked the lady about it, if she had heard anything about it, I told her that we were coming up here to do this research investigation thing on it. And she's like, are you talking about the DNR, the conservation officer? And I'm like, huh? And she's like, yeah, there's a tomb monument out in the woods of him. So I don't know if, like, she was thinking of something totally different, but I do want to look into that. As if maybe the guy was a conservation officer as well. I don't know.
What else is there to do out there?
There's no factories.
Right. Yeah, there is. There's a couple.
In Sheboygan.
No, there's one that's right outside a tower. actually.
Let me guess. They make tractors.
Remember
right?
where you were sleeping, but remember how I showed you on the map about Fingerboard Corner?
Yeah.
I actually showed Doug where that was at, Fingerboard Corner.
I was gone. I was so burnt out and done.
But yeah, there's a factory right outside a tower. So, yeah, there are factories up there, but it's mostly farming and drinking.
And drinking. And, plenty of bar jobs if you want to get a job as a bartender up there.
Sawmill. Sawmills. Tons of sawmills.
Wow. Well, there's a lot of trees.
And
hey. Ooh, there I go thinking again. I got to stop doing that.
Lots of wood.
So, we feel anything?
When we went out there?
Well, when you were out there, yeah.
Yeah, I felt like something was at my back and scratching my leg.
And you have a scratch in your leg, huh?
Yeah, you know what the weird thing about it is? Is my warm-up pants that I wore, they're like a nylon.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you were to scratch it, it would definitely leave, like, little snags. But nothing's on it at all. And I remember when I was sitting there, it was right when we were getting ready to leave, and I was getting ready to get in my brother's car, and it was at the back of his tire. And I was standing there, and all of a sudden I felt someone just, or see, I'm saying someone, but I know it was something, gouging at me. I'm like, I picked my leg up, and I picked my leg up about a foot in the air, and it was continuing to gouge me.
Now, are you sure it wasn't like a brush or a stick or something?
Listen, I'm telling you, I had a flashlight with me, and I'm like, because I was concerned if it was like a piece of metal or something, because I don't even know when the last time I had my,
She's in her shots recently.
So I was like, I was looking around, and there was nothing there but tall grass. And I did remember the lady saying about picker bushes being out there. Watch out for the picker bushes. But, no, I stomped around. There was nothing there. And that just totally freaked me out.
Well, that's something interesting.
Mm-hmm. And then in the photo that I got, we took a group photo of all the people that had showed us how to get out there. And the only two people that showed up in the photo was the two girls.
Really?
Yes, and wait till you see this photo. It's going to make you cringe. Because in the other photos of the well and the two tombs, there was like a lot of blue. It was like kind of like a negative print over it of blue. It was like this weird blue color. And the girl that didn't want to go, the one I said, oh, come on, you know, the chances of us seeing a ghost is slim and none with all these people. She's like, all right, you know. So she hopped in, but she had a question mark on her face in that blue stuff. It's a question mark. It's not like where you're like, I don't know if it looks like one, but it's definitely a question mark. It's the question part on the top with the dot at the bottom right across her face.
We need to get those pictures up on the net.
Well, yeah, what we're going to be doing, that's a little bit of news here for you guys, too. There's some major modifications going on the Ghostly Talk website. And one of the major modifications is we finally added the picture link. Now we just have to put some pictures up there. But
I
was going to say to you, Karma, is I'd like you to get those pictures to me so I can get those up on the net and have them up there for people to view and stuff like that. So probably in about a week, let's give it about a week, I can probably have it up there. You guys will be able to look at what we're, you know, what we're talking about. I'd prefer to have this stuff up beforehand so we can talk about it and go, hey, go to the site and look at it right now. But obviously, between houses being bought and relatives passing away, it's kind of hard to get anything done nowadays. People being transferred. There's just a lot going on here. Tell you what, though, let's take a quick break, okay?
Oh, sounds good.
Yeah, we started late today, unfortunately, but we're going to take a break here for a minute. Weird week. Weird. We'll be right back here on Ghostly Talk.
Put them? Want your hands free to do other things? Try a Stagehand Tool Belt.
station, Two Bolts can accommodate any task, whether you're building a stage or bringing down a haunted house.
Stagehand tools.
For all your industry needs, we have, for example, EMT pouches, radio pouches, tape measure holders, mailbags, and numerous flashlight accessories. Just go to
www.stagehandtools.com.
And see all the cool stuff that Stagehand Tools has for you.
www.stagehandtools.com.
We know where to stick it.
Ghost Hunting, my ethereal anti-drug.
Studios.
Well, I'm sorry.
Well, it's probably lack of, you know, ghost spirits.
The Doug lives in a tri-level, and you have, like cross ventilation, which is really nice. We're down here, it's just a fiery pit of hell.
Well, yeah, that's why we love working down here.
Well, you know what, it's usually warmer in double wides, you know.
Hey, would you leave it alone? Actually, you have heard all the insane stuff about the house buying. We'll have to talk about that last night. I mean, tomorrow... I'm too damn tired to do this show tonight, dude. I'm totally fried. I'm just between all the crap. I'm tired! I was going to go to bed, dude.
Not to talk about your personal life, but are you going to buy that condo that we looked at? The one
not that
the...
one. I'm going to buy another one.
Oh, come on. That
I
one was...
I found one that's way better.
Way better? Where at?
13 and... Well, in Fraser, Michigan. So really people don't know. We're like having a conversation. So, hey, Christy, how's the job going?
Oh, you...
Oh, yeah. We had to hear about it on the break.
It would go from ghostly talk to postal talk.
No, another one is gonna be getting picked out. I think we're gonna be. I'm going to the bank tomorrow. So, everybody, I'm buying a house. Yay! Give me a hand. Come on, clap for me. Clap for me. Damn you guys! Come on.
Thank What's you. So special about a double wide?
Double wides are excellent, man. I got my own fireplace. I'm not buying a double wide. Don't tell people that.
What is it? A barrel in the middle of your room?
A barrel? For what? What are you talking about?
Your fireplace.
No, I was just kidding around. I'm not going to have a fireplace.
I know what it is. That's a smoker.
No.
Oh, God.
No, I'm not getting a smoker either. I'm buying a home, finally, after all these years.
Can you move it?
What? Would you just quit making...
Is it on wheels?
You're not invited, invited to my housewarming party.
That's all right. I've been on many double wides.
You I'm see not moving money. Into a trailer, for God's sake. I'm not moving into a trailer.
There's nothing wrong with trailers. I'm a trailer baby.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't tell.
Yeah, right. I think you used that one 2 weeks ago.
On what?
when I said about being from a trailer.
You didn't say it. That's the first time you've ever said. That's the first thing. I just learned something new about you.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with living in a trailer.
No, actually, they're very nice. I was looking at them.
The one I lived in wasn't nice.
The house I originally grew up in was basically a trailer with a garage, so.
A modified trailer.
It was a small ranch home.
If you guys want to see what we're talking about, go to MissouriTrailerTrash.com. I kid you not. Some of the most wonderful trailers from all over the country are on that website. You'll die. I know you've been there before, Will.
Oh, yeah.
Karma, you're still a virgin. We have to show that one to you.
You know what I like?
Or you're a virgin of the website.
You know what? We really didn't get to... When... When we were up north, we didn't get to see some of the finer communities in the area. But there's a few people's trailers where their antennas are bigger than their trailer.
That's ridiculous.
It's like the kind of trailer that you like pull behind a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. They probably have like the most badass, like totally sweet, like DirecTV setup too. In the whole world, but they can't put food in the fridge.
It's
ridiculous, dude.
I know, it's like one of those ones from the 60s where they're all chrome or the the metal.
Oh, they're all rounded and everything?
Rounded,
oh, those
yeah.
are sweet.
Kind of like what maybe JFK might have had.
Well, there's something, that's something to think about, though. Have you, we talk about haunted houses all the time here on Ghostly Talk. What about a haunted trailer?
And I have a haunted trailer for you.
No.
My friend, listen to this, she bought a trailer, and she put it at, back on her husband's property. And the trailer itself, she always felt eerie about being in there or whatnot, but her son was playing in the bedroom, and she kept hearing, like, the furnace, you know, when the furnace starts to kick on, it makes that noise. Well, here it is in the middle of, you know, July, it's making this noise. So she went back there, and when she opened the door, she felt this really cold, cold breeze come at her, and she picked her son up. And she ran because she said there was these, she had these pictures of these Indians in her house. And every day she would come in and they would be off the wall.
Really?
And these little statues would be turned the opposite way all the time. Nah!
Oh, I'm going to be so sick now. I am going to be so, what's wrong? Why can't I, what do you got in there, bourbon?
No, it's my bubble.
I just want to take a hit of it. I just want to take a hit.
No.
It's her bubble. It's your, like,
give me
like
a hit.
Bottle
it's
something.
My bubble.
Give me a hit, man.
No.
Damn, I'm not giving you your cat back.
I can't believe it. I don't care. It'll be gone. He wants to drink my Coca-Cola Classic that has about an inch left.
I just
from
want
the
a
bottom.
Pop and just take a shot.
And let it, I mean.
It's half full.
It's half full.
Oh, yeah, it's not. It's
did
not
you know that
empty.
The bottom part of a Coke has like 60% saliva in it? And I'm not feeling good right now. How would you feel if you got sick?
I'd be really mad at you.
You'd be like, oh, I got karma's germs.
I guess over here, I want a couple days off work.
No kidding, man. I need some time off. Just let me hit that. Come on.
You're always drinking out of my stuff.
When?
Always
when?
Trying to hit my cigarettes.
When? When?
When? Remember the Slurpee?
What Slurpee? What are you talking about? Which Slurpee?
A while ago. Every time. He always wants to drink what I'm drinking.
Well, I just wanted to see if I get some, you know, taste of your lip gloss on there, you know?
I don't have any lip gloss on today.
So I'll like, take that taste and I'll just run straight to the bathroom and... Oh, my God. We were so getting kicked off the air. See, you guys got to stop me before I take it too far. What's wrong? Oh, God. Oh, it's such a horrible thought. Scott. No. But no, haunted trailer. Maybe something interesting. I don't think. Well, go ahead, Will.
There was actually a trailer that we, Mission Ghostbusters was going to investigate, but we haven't yet. And I don't know what's all going on with it, but. There was another that picture I sent you with that.
Well, yeah, they have to finish that expose with cops first, and then they'll.
The face that of the picture of that woman in the TV. Another one I sent you, I think you were at work.
Yeah.
And I just sent that to you, and had that woman's face in the TV, and it was really, like, clear.
Yeah.
That was that's the trailer. That's
was
trailer.
It the 6
trailer.
O'clock news?
Well, see, maybe. Man, that was pretty good, Karma. Think about that. I mean, a trailer. Are you talking about like a trailer with wheels, the whole shot?
Oh, no, like a trailer home park or something like
that. Like a manufactured home.
Right.
Is it in Mount Clemens?
No, it was like up like Auburn Hills or something like that.
Do you know where the Silver Springs are in Mount Clemens?
I don't hang out in that area. Yeah, I do.
Okay, it's, oh, crap, I can't think of it. The name of that street.
I know where it's at, but I don't know, like, the
yeah, well,
there.
This is a story. This lady I work with, she said that her daughter would always be playing in her room. Now, this is a different story. And she went in there, and she's like, who are you talking to? She's like, I'm talking to this really pretty, pretty angel. She's got a white gown on with all these diamonds in her dress. And she said that her name was Dairon, the angel's name. And she's like, she's always chasing off all these little kids because she's trying to tell them that this is her house now. Which is her daughter, and she said that the lady I work with said that she was sitting on the couch, and she had a hair clip on the countertop, and she turned around for some reason to look, and her hair clip flew off the counter as if someone smacked it off.
Wow.
And she would come home, and there would be like liquor bottles would be arranged on the floor in a line. Just like a bunch
Whoa.
Of stuff, weird stuff that kept happening. And I've been asking her if we can get in there to see it or not. And, you know, she recently split up with her husband, so her husband still does live there. So I have to talk to him about that. But
Wow.
And that trailer park was built, if you're familiar, you're familiar with Mount Clemens, how the Bath City, we talked about this before.
Yeah,
there's a whole city underneath Mount Clemens.
Yeah, there's a whole city underneath Mount Clemens, and the area that where this trailer park is
I'm not moving there, God.
I've been down there.
Where this trailer park is like used to be a famous spot of a hotel that people that were dying and had illnesses.
That would be the Medea. Which, I'm pretty sure that's the Medea. And that's
so she thinks, because her double Y was brand new. But she's thinking because it's on that ground that the spirits are coming into her home that way, so.
Well, I think it would be more of a land issue.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're saying, too. And, because, I mean, well, you know, I guess it just depends. I mean, I don't, none of us know for sure, but, obviously, a trailer home is one that can move around. A manufactured home, it's still a home.
It's a double wide, is what
well,
it is.
A real house, like a house, like what we're sitting in right now. You know, this thing is built into the foundation of the earth, basically. I mean, this thing's not going anywhere unless something really hardcore comes through and levels it. Psychic impressions, so to say. We've talked about psychic impressions. In England, for example, it's a perfect example.
The castles.
Well, the castles, the stone that was used to build the castles, they believe that a lot of those castles that were built in England, the stone is an excellent sponge for psychic energy or a psychic impression. And that's where you see a lot of these residual hauntings and things like that of a sort. There's not too much, if you notice England, for my reading at least, there isn't a lot of, how would you say, poltergeist activity in England. A lot of it, what you hear and say, you just hear screams or yells, or you might see somebody walking over or something at a certain time, at a certain day or a certain year. But you don't really hear too many stories out of England of like a true, like a poltergeist activity. Now, I don't want to say this for sure. The Einfeld poltergeist, I believe, is in England, which was a very seriously documented case.
Let's ask Phobos.
Well, yeah, you know, we should ask Phobos. We could ask Phobos on that while we're talking here. That actually would be a good idea. But, yeah,
hi,
well,
Phobos. I don't have rabies, by the way.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have a phone line this week either because we're back here at the dungeon again. It doesn't have the phone line because we're all hardcore and technological. And we don't have the landline anymore. But I think, like, a trailer home itself, I mean, I guess it's just a matter of how you think. I mean, if something's to leave a psychic impression, it would have to leave it on the home itself. I think it would be more likely to have a haunting in a house like this, a home that we're in. What are you guys looking at the screen for so much? Because
somebody's asking where Doug is, Mr. Doug.
All right, well. Doug, well, they'll find out.
Because it's a free country and I can look.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying you can't.
You're going to have to put one of those dog things around me. What's it called?
But a home.
It's called a home?
Yeah, it's called a home. A home. It would be more likely, obviously, in my opinion, to see something like that happen in a house like this, which I haven't seen any ghosts in this house.
Yeah.
It says, Scott, would you enjoy visiting Wales? He already does on Saturday nights.
Actually, I have Welsh in me. I have a lot of Welsh in me.
So I have some Welsh in me, too.
Yeah.
Some what?
Welsh. Wales. Welsh.
Okay.
It's a country.
Okay.
Like Italy, culture. Italian, French.
I think of Welsh, I think of like...
Grape juice.
Like little guys. And you guys Welsh. Are far from little.
Well, yeah.
Well, Scott, you got the height.
What? What height?
Exactly, what height?
Jesus Christ. Anyways, that's something that's interesting to think about, though. You mentioned something, Karma, but I never really heard myself about any, like, a haunted, like, manufactured home. That'd be something to really, like, look into and see if you could find something as far as, like, a manufactured home community.
Actually, on Shadowlands, the Rudgate one over there in Clinton Township.
That's where I was looking.
Rudgate.
You're kidding me. You are so kidding me.
It's on Shadowlands. If you can pull it up if you want.
I'm going to have to do that.
Is that the one that we went by? It's like the chateau? It's
supposed to be like out in the woods.
No, that was on Hall Road. That's this is like 16 and Gross back here.
16 and
Gross.
Oh, I know where it is. It's behind
the police station.
Yeah, okay. It's like
the tracks and everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know.
It's supposed to be somewhere along the tracks. The whole park's supposed to be haunted. But it is in the Shadowlands. I do know that.
Shadowlands. Explain that.
www.theshadowlands.net. They have a listing for basically every state and many countries of tons of haunted places. The people that visitors send in, and they put them up on the site once a month. On the first of the month, they update it. It's a really great website. It's like,
yeah, you should definitely check out the Shadowlands if you haven't been there. Yeah, they do have probably one of the best address books, so to say, of haunted areas.
So they have Hikey's Tomb on there?
Yeah. Hikey's Tomb's on here, yeah.
Did you email them the correct spelling of it?
I'm planning on doing that, actually. I think it's been so crazy for me since we got back. I've been working
yeah,
in
okay.
school.
Well,
and we have pictures, too.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah, you do. Well, no, I think as far as, like, well, Shadowlands aside, if you were to, like, live in a haunted manufactured home or a haunted trailer, I think it would have a lot more to do with the land you're on.
Exactly.
A lot more to do with the land you're on.
And the owner of the house that lives at Silver Springs, the modular home, she had told me that she thinks that's why, because they looked up and it's definitely where a hotel resort used to be, that people that were, like, had all these ailments and stuff had lived, or they had went there. But I'm working on getting us in there.
Well,
a matter of
I'm just trying to look up this actual thing on what was the name?
Rudgate.
You guys go ahead and talk, and I'm going to take
it. It's that one on the top right.
Wait a minute.
Haunted Places Index.
Okay, all right.
Then you go down to Michigan when it comes up.
Oh, okay.
It takes a little while to
This page
up.
Loads because they have so much stuff on here. It's ridiculous. But yeah. I mean, that would go for houses, though, too. I mean, that's interdependent, really, because, I mean, you could build a house on top of land. I mean, we hear about it all the time.
Especially, you know what I thought was kind of crazy? I originally, when I had called up north to make the reservations for our campgrounds, the lady that had took our reservations asked one of the younger guys that were working there if he had heard of Hikey's Tomb. And when he told me that they were building a house on it, I'm like, do the owners know what's up with that land? And if not, I'm going to tell them.
Right, yeah.
And but what we found out is that they're building condos back in the area, but not
on
it. And we also found out that it's private property, too.
But thankful to Sean, he knows the owner, so.
And his grandmother had went to church with Mr. Hikey.
There it is. Rudgate Manufactured Home Park. I was looking at these yesterday. I had like six of them I wanted to look at today until I made a monumental decision not to move into one of these things.
Yeah, it said that they were, you could, during the night here, you can see ghosts of people who were killed by the train.
The train, yeah.
Yeah, there's a train that runs through there.
And when you walk around the park at night, you can see black figures in the wood line at the back of the park. And you can also see ghosts of animals. Legend is that this park was built on an old cemetery that was there in the 1800s.
How can you just go ahead and build a park on a cemetery? All right, guys, come and grab these headstones. And
you'd be surprised how often they actually do it.
But, I mean, they have to see some kind of headstones there.
There's a big thing that they used to do back in the day is they would say, oh, we're going to excavate this land. We're going to move this cemetery over to someplace else. It would possibly be into another cemetery or into a new location. And they would actually just take the headstones.
They just move the headstones,
They wouldn't actually take the bodies out. So then when people are digging, they're putting in lines, you know, telephone lines.
They're coming across corpses.
Caskets.
Right.
They're coming across corpses left and right. That'd be a fun thing working for the electric
that's
company.
That's very ignorant.
It is.
It's not ignorant.
It is ignorant.
That's sick. That's what it is.
It's ignorantly
very sick. And very greedy to do something like that because we all know why that was done that way. Because it would be a lot cheaper just to move the headstones and keep your mouth shut than to actually excavate the whole field and transport them all over
and
there and have a proper burial.
And keeping track of what headstone belongs with what casket. And you know what? Even if
it would cost a lot of money.
And even if they did do the proper procedure in moving a cemetery, those bodies have been there for so long. And
who's to say? Yeah, that's the right thing to do either.
Well,
you're
not
right.
Like that, but who's to say that they're just going to leave? The spirit person.
Well, it's obvious that maybe you should just leave the land for where it is, but unfortunately it's next to that Walmart that everybody wants to go to, so that's where you have your problems.
I'm surprised that one in Southgate's still there, the one across from Southland Mall.
What's that?
I forget the name of it. It says something like Trinity Methodist something.
It's a cemetery?
Yeah, it's right there on Eureka Road. It's right there on the border of Southgate and Taylor.
That's not me tell somebody when they haven't had a shower in a couple of days.
That place
Eureka.
Is so built up all around it. There's so many businesses. There's a Walmart.
And there's still a cemetery.
There's still a cemetery. It's a fairly
good.
It's a fairly big cemetery. It's not as big as like the one in Berkeley over there, 12 in Woodward, but it's about half that size.
I mean, I think what Karma was trying to get at, earlier as far as, you know, building on top of a cemetery is, you know, the legality involved with that. You know, how can you just go and build on top of somebody's loved one? Well, a lot of times these cemeteries are so old, they don't have any loved ones left. That's why a lot of these cemeteries get swept under the woodwork where they get built on top of. And I think that's the real reason for that. I mean, if you were to go to, like, go to a cemetery that has headstones from, like, let's say the 70s. You're going to have people that still know that their loved ones are buried there.
Right.
But still, I mean, do the people that buy these modular homes in Rudgate, do they know?
What's that? I mean, I don't know if they know or not.
Do they know?
That's a huge park. I don't know. I was going to go there today, actually. I'm kidding you not. I was going to go there.
I want to hand out flyers and tell them that.
Well, I don't think you'd be... I think you'd get in a lot of trouble for that, too.
I wouldn't leave my name.
Well, go ahead and do it. I don't care what you're broadcasting it right now.
Well, it's BS. It really is.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I think it's total BS.
Well, first of all, is there proof that it used to be a cemetery?
I have no idea. This is
and
the first I've heard
this,
about it.
How does this website know that?
I have no idea.
What this website is, people from all over send out haunted locations that they've heard of. And then all the Shadowlands does is they basically put up exactly what that person wrote, you know, minus, like, cussing and swearing.
Yeah.
And puts it in there.
Well, I know someone who lives across from there. In fact, you know what? You'd have to... You could go back into, like, the... I don't know the exact name of the map, but it's, like, property lines and stuff. And you can go into, like, City Hall or whatever, and I'm sure they would have something, like of the like, there's... I don't know what the name of the map is, but it's something where you can find out who owns what property and what it contains and everything, yeah.
The only thing is with that is, I mean, I'm sure this was done. How far does it go back? I'm sure because it's in the Clinton Township area that it would go back quite far. But who's to say that due to politics at that time that those records were not destroyed from that certain period? You don't know.
Do you guys want to go out there digging?
What at the Rudgate Manufactured Home Park?
Yeah, we'll just go 6 feet down.
I'm going to go digging around somebody's manufactured home park.
Well, we could go in the park and dig a hole and see if we come across anything.
I don't think we can do that, Karma.
We get arrested.
We would get arrested for that. That's private property.
They could just tell us to leave.
I don't know about
just
you.
Just smash them.
Yeah, hey! There you go.
No.
Hey, guys, check these things out. I think they might go for that. That's an idea.
Whatever it takes.
We'll give you bees. How's that sound? That's a good trade-off, huh, Will?
Yeah. No, I think
we need
to do some research on it.
That's the weirdest part, because I was going to go there today. That's creepy, actually, we're talking about.
You should live there, and we can broadcast from the haunted cemetery.
Bad investment.
/ Audrey.
Bad investment. It's economics here with Scott L. Bad investment. We'll be right back here on Ghost Day Talk.
It's paranormally scientific. It's Ghostly Talk.
www.ppri.cjb.net.
Paranormal phenomena research and investigation out of Amherst, Nova Scotia is a well-established group of folks dedicated to bringing the misinformed public up-to-date information on any and all aspects of the paranormal.
www.ppri.cjb.net.
Constantly researching internet and library archives, along with working directly in the field, we hope to maintain and promote our high-quality research and investigation methods so that we can present a non-distorted picture of unexplained phenomena.
www.ppri.cjb.net.
Of the night, my eyes are closed about this one.
Unfortunately, I have to leave again at 8:30.
Well,
I am a
you're
call
a
to do. Yes, I'm on 10 hours at the dump.
No, you're making money more. There's nothing wrong with working overtime.
Making money or mental stability?
Yeah, I'm not making any of that. I know that for a fact.
No, I'm weighing out my.
Any of us in this room are doing that.
Yeah, but you guys try working 1 hour at my shop. I know, Scott, you'd probably go off on a fit of rage.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would.
I just kick the crap out of somebody and I feel better.
Yeah, fit of rage, exactly.
No, that's not rage. It's not rage at all. Shooting them is rage.
I feel sometimes as if I work at a post office, really.
Post office?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know those guys are mellow.
You know my friend Louie to hang out with?
Yeah, you know what? He gave me a really good job lead, too, by the way. But I have to upgrade my, or not upgrade, but I have to redo my resume. Yes, good job lead he hooked me up with.
Mm-hmm.
One day leaving there, I'm like, I'm quitting. I hate this place.
And he just walked?
I almost did.
Oh, you?
I was on the phone 1 o'clock in the morning on Friday going, yeah, how soon do you think you can get me a job where you work at? He's like, don't walk out, Christy. I got to talk to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't walk out. I was walking out so bad.
So Louie left Fisher Dynamics now? Or sorry, whoops. Dead that out.
You didn't say anything, dude. Don't worry about it.
Right.
I can take care of that crap in the archive.
Exactly.
But you worried about a thing.
I screwed up. That's all right.
But no, Louie's still there. But
you say Christy's a hottie. That's what you said.
He,
go fishing.
Go fishing. You were talking about the little toy truck that you bought for your nephew, Fisher
right.
Price.
Yeah,
right,
Fisher
yeah.
Price truck. Yeah, you know, excellent toy, I might say. Haunted trailer parks. Strange. That's something to think about, though. That's what really is just putting the hook on me right now. Because I was like en route to that place until I saw this last condo that just I fell in love with. So I was like, I'm not even going to bother going to these places. It's a crap investment, you know, and all these reasons I've had to rationalize it. But now I'm kind of intrigued, but just go there to walk around and see what's there. Unfortunately, if that's a community, if we were to go there at nighttime and walk around, we'd probably have the cops there so fast it'd be stupid, dude. I guarantee you that.
Well, then you should get a place there. You should go ahead and buy it, and that way everybody wants to hang out with
cops. The cops are right out in front of it, too. So.
Are they?
Yeah.
Really?
It's like
is
right
there. Is
there
a police station there?
To Clinton Township one?
I'm not familiar with the area that much.
It's like, yeah, it's like right there.
Huh.
On the other side of the tracks, basically. It's over there by, like, you know where the Peachtree Apartments
are?
It's like right there.
What?
None. I don't want the thing to squeak or make
any
noise.
It's not
going to
squeak. Relax. It never does.
Anyways.
You're like my grandpa.
So anyways.
Oh, nice look.
Will?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm going to be here for, what, 5 more minutes?
Yeah.
That's it.
So, no, that's something I might try to check it out anyways, just to see. I mean, I'm just walking around there anyways and just say I'm house shopping. You see any ghosts around here? What?
Well, they'd have to disclose that. If anything happened in their house.
That's if they know it or not. I guarantee you there isn't too many people in that community that know it.
Let's tell them about it.
But it's something definitely interesting. I had no idea. That's so weird. That's what's creeping me out right now. I was gonna be like going there, like walking around these places today, going, you know, looking at the pool and stuff.
You might be able to get less expensive if you can prove that it's haunted.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think they can get any cheaper over there. To tell you the truth, if I show you some of these prices, man, you'd freak out. Be like, wow, I'm gonna buy a house. That's the first thing I saw. I'm like, what, $25,000? For a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom home with a garden tub, a patio, and a fireplace, and central air. And I'm like, well, hey, that's in my price range, you know. And then I'm like, well, you know, what kind of investment is this? And I talked to a lady today, as a matter of fact. She's like, yeah, I bought one brand new for $52,000, and I'm trying to sell it right now for $42,000, and that's been going on for 2 years. So I'm like,
so I just think you'd be making someone's year by buying their.
No. I'm not doing it. I'll never do it. That's the last thing I'll ever do now. We haven't really touched on 9/11 yet.
No.
Like we wanted to.
Before you leave, where were you at 9/11?
Well, I was in the bathroom. I just got done taking my friend out to breakfast for his birthday, and his birthday is on 9/11. And I was doing my hair when I heard the broadcast from my radio downstairs saying that plane had hit the Twin Towers, and it was on 89X, and I thought maybe they might be screwing around. So then I went to my brother's room, and I turned on the TV, and that's when I seen the second plane hit. And I woke my brother up. I'm like, we're under attack. We're under attack. And he got up. He kind of went, first he was like, so what? And then he looked, and he was like, I stayed up the whole day, lost sleep and everything. I thought it was going to be the end. Where were you at?
I didn't think it was that big of a deal when I first heard about it. When I heard it.
The first one, but then the second one.
Well, yeah, then I was like, oh, boy. When I first heard about it, I was like, oh, my God, a plane hit the Twin Towers. I'm like, oh, man, that sucks. Kind of dumb, idiot, stupid pilot did that, man. Wow. God, that guy. Well, whoever that airline was, man, they're done for good. That's the first thing I thought.
The second one hits you like, whoa, what a bunch of idiots.
Yeah. No,
when the second one hit, I knew.
No, there was something definitely wrong. But it was funny because I remember we're sitting in my office, and this just illustrates office rumors, how they spread, how fast they spread. Because a girl came up to me, one of the girls I work with came up to me, and she's like, Scott, oh, my God, a plane hits the Twin Towers. I'm like, whoa, and that's pretty heavy. You know, like I said, I'm like, you know, well, crap happens. I mean, you know, what am I going to do about it? And then the second one hit, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is really serious. What's going on here? And then somebody comes running over and they're like, you know what else they did, man? They defiled the Statue of Liberty, too. They threw paint on it when they were coming by or something like that. I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't know at the time. And then I mentioned something to somebody about that because I left work. We all left work. We just got the heck out of there. And I mentioned something like, yeah, I heard they defiled the Statue of Liberty. Somebody's like, what are you talking about? They didn't go near the Statue of Liberty. They just hit the buildings.
And you heard about the Pentagon.
Yeah, then the Pentagon.
I was going to pack up and head up north.
No, I want to just be with my family. That's all I want to do is just spend. My mom was a complete wreck. So I decided to just spend the day with her and make spaghetti and just chill out.
I called my dad at work. He works, you know, for one of the big three, and they don't have TVs on the line. And he's like, what? I'll call you right back. And I know he must have started spreading around the whole shop.
Well.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, it's time for me to go, unfortunately.
You have to go?
Yeah.
Well, you got to go. You got to go.
Yeah.
Usually we're taking a break at this time, so we don't have to deal with this. We just, you know, we just kick you out in the middle of the break. But,
right.
Well,
but
you got to go.
You can actually hear me walk out this time.
No, yeah, we're going to, like, just, like, synthesize. See you guys later.
Shut the door. Dog. The dog.
Bye.
Barking. A little quick.
This isn't working because you're still here.
A little quick. You know, I was talking about your dogs when you leave. It's like a little quick crotch sniff.
Oh yeah, they're famous for the crotch sniff. That's like they trademarked that move.
It's, you know, great. I'm gonna tell you really quick. Last night I was out with my friend and I went over to his friend's house. I had a dog and his dog was all up in my crotch and they're like, get out of there. You know, the owner's kind of getting embarrassed and I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. There's many guys that want to do that.
Oh
too.
My god. Well, we can bring Midnight over here and try it again if you really want.
No, thank you.
I need to move then too. Yeah,
Midnight. Yeah, we have to crawl here.
Okay.
Yeah, I know 9/11 was obviously it was a crap day for all of us, and we're going to relive it again. Coming here on this Thursday because the media isn't going to let us forget about it. I guarantee you that for a fact. And you were talking about that a second. Go ahead and let Christy out, Will.
You know, I was going to say something I'm not going to let anybody forget about. The money you guys owe me.
Oh, yeah, here. Here.
No, we could, if you have to, we could square up later.
Well, what do we got? Here. Is that enough?
That's cool.
Here, $7. Boy, this show is completely gone to hell.
Hey,
what the hell is this? What,
hey,
$2? I just gave her $7. Well, she bought me cigarettes, too.
All I have is 20.
Well, give her a 20. That's a lap dance right there, man. Go for it.
Don't worry about
I'll
it. You guys are just picking up pizza next week.
I'll get pizza next week.
Yeah.
No, we are going to have to relive this Thursday, though. For a fact, we all know that.
Definitely.
And I'm not I'm not really looking forward
I'm
to it.
All
right, bye, Karma.
Bye, bye, full booth.
We'll see you later.
I have my shots too.
Oh, there goes. We'll see you later. Bye.
Back to this comfy chair.
That's my jerk off. You got the comfortable chair again. That's my biggest problem with this whole thing. Even back when this happened, I understand that, you know, that media has to be there to cover these things, but you know, we all know what I'm talking about.
Right. Well, I was up in, at the company I used to work for, I was up in Saginaw for doing a sales blitz. And myself and a good friend of mine that I still talk to, that I don't want to work for the company, her and I went up to Bay City, because that was the area we had to cover. And we went over to this, it was the first place we got to, because it was early in the morning when it happened. And we pulled into Big Chief Sugar Company. I'll never forget the company I was at. Great company, by the way. But
thanks. You got their website address, too?
No, actually, I don't.
BigChiefSugar.com. Make sure you check out.
Probably is.
Well, a real exciting website there for you.
Jesus Christ. But it's like their world headquarters and everything.
Oh, that's cool.
We got in. We talked to this. We got through security, which is like one of the biggest things you do when you're a salesperson. And they let us in. They let us go over to purchasing. So we went over. We talked to purchasing. And they said, well, you don't want to talk to us. You want to talk to human resources. So we said, okay. But they said, you have to go back to security and let them know you're going over there. So when we went back to security, he's like, turn on the radio. And we're like, why? He's like, turn to any AM
yeah.
radio station that's local. So we turned up there. You can get the AM 950 up there and that we have here in Detroit. And they were talking about that the towers have been hit.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the Pentagon and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And they were closing down these landmarks and all this other stuff. And the guy came back and says, everyone's going home. But we'll let you go talk to human resources real quick because no one's going to be leaving for about a half an hour. Because they got to shut down the plant and things of that nature.
They shut down the whole plant,
shut down the whole plant. So we went over there. We talked to human resources. Of course, everything's just crazy. We basically just dropped off information because they were all tuned into the TV and the radio. And so they weren't really, you know, all about talking to us anyway. So we left, and I got a phone call from my district manager, and he's like, get back to the store, get everybody back, because I was basically in charge of like 15, 16 people up there. He's like, get everybody back. We have to get everybody back to the store, make sure everyone's accounted for, and get everybody home. So I had to wait until everybody got back, and I was trying. I had a phone call. I had a cell phone number for everybody, every vehicle. Everyone was in pairs, and I could not get a hold of everybody because after a while, I got a hold of the first few, and then the cell phones went out, and you couldn't call cell phone to cell phone. Only the landlines were working.
Yeah.
But eventually, everyone got back, and we got home. It took us quite a while because everyone was leaving work.
Mm-hmm.
And driving down I-75 was crazy, especially when you were by like Dow Chemical and all these places that were like under secure lockdown after everything. They didn't know what was going on.
No, nobody knew what was going on.
And it was a very crazy, crazy day.
I know the day I was at work that day too, obviously. We heard the news, and I know that we had a TV to watch, which was pretty cool. You know, and everybody was freaking out. I remember just people crying and just it was a wreck. I couldn't believe it, you know. But the greatest thing, not the greatest, actually the most disgusting thing ever, they're like, you know, the people, our bosses, are like, well, they're letting people out of a lot of the offices. They're basically, everybody's shutting down, and people are just going home right now. And we're like, yeah, okay, so why aren't we walking out right now? Well, you can leave if you want to. But if you want to stay, you know, we'd appreciate it, you know. And a few people did stay. I was out of there. They're like, well, are you sure you want to leave, Scott? I'm like, yeah, I'm very sure. I have a mother sitting at home bawling her eyes out right now, and I have a sister who's in school who needs to be picked up. So I'm going to take care of this, and I'm going to leave. And I remember to add to that, just to further illustrate my distaste for corporate America, I remember the people that stayed at work on 9/11, 2001, got a comp day. And us that left didn't get one.
That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous, yeah. And just because they needed people there to take care of business. And, you know, while the rest of the world's getting the hell out and going home and being with their families and just consoling each other because the whole damn country's ready to fall apart. Oh, no, we were at work.
You know, in fact, the company that I worked for, they, all the stores shut down completely. In fact, the next day, all the stores were closed again.
Yeah.
And it happened on a Tuesday. Wednesday, all the stores were closed. Thursday, all the stores that were in the outlying areas reopened. But the stores in Detroit, Dearborn, all the bigger cities, Southfield, they all stayed closed.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there was a fear that, you know, the attacks could continue.
I was sitting in a high rise when this happened.
And you should have a 13
story high rise I was in when this went down. And that was the first thing we're saying. We're like, okay, well, everybody's looking out the window just waiting for the next one to come buzzing in at us, you know? So we're just sitting there waiting for the planes to come in. Of course, nothing happened, you know? We were waiting. If anything was going to get hit here, it was going to be Detroit. The Ren Center in Detroit would have got hit.
Oh, yeah. It's
the biggest building in Detroit. That would have been down. Or the train station, but there's nobody there. So it don't really matter.
We always have Selfridge, too, which would always be a military target.
Yeah. But the media coverage is what we're going to have to put up with this Thursday. And that's what I'm not looking forward to. Because it's going to be pretty intense, I think. It's going to be very intense. Because, God, I remember a year blew by, obviously. I mean, I just remember the 1 year, like it was yesterday. And it's hard to deal with this, again. Just to think about all those people that passed away in that wreck. And then, you know, you think about the sorrow kicks in, then the rage kicks in, too. When you think about who was responsible for it also. And that really does tie in with a lot of things on this show, too, because we talk about all these different viewpoints every single week on subjects concerning the paranormal. And basically the issue here, the reason that this is going down the way it is and why people, that many people died that day is because, well, it started out with religion.
Yeah.
It started out with religion. And now it's turned into a personal battle where they believe that, you know, the Christian race is trying to stomp out the Middle Eastern religions. And it's basically, I'm wrong, I'm right and you're wrong. That's what it's turned into. And that's the reason this whole thing is going on the way it is. And they've been fighting this stupid war for the last 800 years.
Well, every religion wants to recruit more and more members and wants to steal people from the other religion. And it's always been that way and it always will be that way.
The one thing that I the day after, I remember I was at the gym, and I was watching the news, and they were talking about, you know, when it comes to religion, I know we preach this all the time. When it comes to religion, we're all like, okay, look, do what you want. We respect whatever you do.
Right.
And that's how the majority of people are nowadays. They really are. That's how most people are.
As long as you're not raping and killing people.
Yeah, you know, and if you don't want to try to push them on me, that's fine. No problem at all. You can do whatever you want. You are in America. You can worship whoever you want, whatever you want, any time of the day you want. The one thing I came to the conclusion on, and I had the help of a senator for this. I remember he was a senator. I was watching him. I was on the treadmill. And he said, the thing we have to get over on this, because people were saying this, too. I'm like, why the hell did they hit the World Trade Center? Well, because they have a different opinion than we do. And that was totally wrong what they did, but we still have to respect their opinion and their beliefs. And what this gentleman said was, you know what? No, we don't. Because they just killed 5,000 people. Because of their beliefs. And I don't believe in there. I don't believe in Allah. I don't believe in the Quran. I think it's all a bunch of crap. I think it preaches war. I think it preaches terrorism. And I think it preaches hate. And that really made me think about that a little bit more. As opposed to, well, you know, that's how you think and how I think. And if we can just agree to disagree, everything's fine. No, we are not going to agree to disagree on this. And that's the reason I feel the way I do and how a lot of people feel the way they do is that very statement alone. You are wrong.
Right.
You are wrong, and you are not going to take over the world. And, I mean, what better motivation to have than to have someone tell you, look, if you do this, if you commit suicide for mass murder, you will be rewarded so well in heaven. If you are that much of a sheep, and you're willing to follow that much, and you believe that much, you have that much faith in your leaders and Allah, why the heck not?
Right, they believe in like seven virgins.
And look at the crap they live in. Look at the garbage country they live in.
Mm-hmm.
Look where they live. They're all starving, for God's sakes. What's the better choice? Well, I'm just going to off myself and have seven virgins and live in happiness, and God's going to love me for what I did. I don't believe that, personally.
Oh, me neither.
I think common sense and just, you don't need the Bible to tell you that. The Bible's been instilled into our culture. World culture, not just American culture, world culture, for the last 2,000 years. The basic things in life, don't kill, don't steal. Basically, those did come from the Bible. I'm not saying, well, Jesus was here and I believe that. I'm saying that those basic rules to live by have been instilled in our culture. Don't kill, don't steal, don't steal your neighbor's wife, you know, all the good stuff. Okay? So therefore, I don't think it's right for someone, whatever excuse they have, well, we're killing for Allah because we think Allah will take care of Allah. This is what Allah wants. Bullshit!
Did Allah come down
bullshit.
And talk to that? No.
I think you're full of shit, my friend. I think somebody needs an excuse to get ahead.
There are no conscience psychopaths. That's bottom line to me.
Somebody needs an excuse to get ahead. And you're right. There are no conscience psychopaths. A lot of them are. And I don't want to deal with them. And at the same token, though, I still have a problem with this war in Iraq. And I think it goes both ways. There are things out there, and that's the reason I love Clyde Lewis so much. I listen to Clyde Lewis as much as possible, because Clyde Lewis tells it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
Not all. I don't agree with everything he says. But there are a lot of things that go on that happened for a reason that we will never know about.
Oh, no, we'll never know.
Well, we're trying to stop the war on terrorism. I agree with that. You should stop the war on terrorism. We want to keep our country safe. The majority of us pay taxes to keep this country safe. The real hardworking American citizens. Don't even get me started on the other side. The real hardworking American citizens, such as Will and myself and the rest of the Ghostly Talk team, pay our taxes to keep this country safe. I agree with that. What else is going on, though? There are other things going on here. And it's the same thing. It's on as opposed to the other side. The opponent, or the opponent. There are other things going on. They think, but the whole Allah, you'll go to heaven if you take care of me. I think that's a beard, personally, a lot of times. There are other things going on. And it makes me sick, personally. It makes me want to just hurt people. It makes me rage, because there's not much we can do about it, unfortunately.
No, there isn't.
Aside from going out and offing ourselves in the name of liberty, which we can just join the military for that.
Right.
You know? I mean, I don't know if I'm making any sense whatsoever, but this is the things I think about every day. And I think about these things, and it makes me mad. Because, well, 9/11 is a perfect example. We lost 5,000 people.
Yeah.
5,000 working people. Now, a lot of them were probably... A lot of them were probably high-ups in our beautiful corporate America, too, but they're human beings at that, and nobody deserved to die like that. Nobody deserved to die like that. Working people, going to work in the morning, and what happens? It makes me sick.
I think it's amazing how many people showed up late that day, and how many people weren't on those planes. Because those planes were not filled. They were not filled with people.
They didn't need to be.
No, they didn't need to be, but it was just the fact that there were so many people that were not on those planes. When you think of an airline, you think of a flight, it's going to be full. It's going to be packed to the max.
Yeah.
At that time, the economy was pretty good, so people were still traveling.
Yeah.
And to only have 40-some people on a plane, or to only have 60-some people on a plane, is amazing. That many people didn't go.
Yeah. I know for a fact, though, that there's something else going on, even in the Middle East. I understand the fact that a lot of the people that terrorists, let's say, Al Qaeda, the axis of evil, believe that, and I do agree with some of their points too. Americans, a lot of Americans, are greedy pigs. They do nothing but suck this planet dry. They do.
Right.
They do. They have no conscience whatsoever. Suck it down by the biggest, baddest truck you can buy. That gets 1 mile to the gallon on the freeway, so you can show how much of a badass you are. How much of a badass you are. Who has the biggest toys? Meanwhile, there's guys like me struggling, but I'm thinking about things like that. I like to think about that. Well, maybe I really shouldn't. Why do I really need a $50,000 truck that can climb up an 80-degree incline?
No.
Do I really need that? I have no need for that personally, therefore I won't buy it. I'm a computer geek. Now, if I was a park ranger, I might need something like that. I mean, I guess the way I think, I'm like, do I need this? Do I want, is it worth me investing that much money into to do nothing with it?
Right.
To do nothing with it whatsoever. To drive around town. Hey, look at my wheels. Yeah, look at me. There's a lot of other things to spend your money on, I think, personally. And that goes back to the point, though. I do agree with some of these people. They believe that Americans are nothing but greedy pigs that want to take over the world. Taking over the world part, that's a matter of opinion, I guess. So they're retaliating. They're fighting back in their opinion. What they fail to recognize is that a lot of that has to do with the upper 1% that's in power of this country.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of us, such as myself and yourself, have nothing to do with jihad at all. I give a damn what they believe in. I can care less what they believe in. You know, go ahead and blow up your own country, though. That's my only problem, because that affected the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
That affected the whole country. It scared us all. We were all scared. I don't care who you were that day. Everybody in this country had a bit of fright in them. Like, oh my God, where are they going to hit next? What's going to happen now? What are we going to do?
It also shows that we're vulnerable, too. That we're not this super
vulnerable. Very vulnerable.
Country.
And they've already proven that the intelligence had the information.
They didn't share it.
Tell that to those 5,000 people that were in that tower. And tell that to their families, too. And I know plenty of those people have probably made a very pretty dime off this, too. But they deserve that. I think some of those people actually deserve it. Some of these people had husbands that were making millions.
I actually knew somebody who was in the towers. I went to high school with them.
I had a friend that was in New York. We lost him for like a week. Didn't know where he was at.
I didn't know he was in New York. I haven't talked to him that much since high school, but it was on the papers, and I was like, whoa, I know this guy. I went to high school with him. He was a year older than me, and he went there. He was in there for training for one of the financial companies over there, and he was on like the 70th floor. I forget what floor it is now.
Yeah.
But I remember he in the news article it said that he when the first he wasn't in the first tower that was hit, he was in the second tower, And they started. They came over the loudspeakers after the first tower was hit, and they were telling everybody to leave, to evacuate,
to get out. Yeah.
And then they were. He was in the stairwell, and you know, of course, the stairwells are packed, and they were telling everybody.
Sorry.
telling everybody not to use the elevators. So he's in the stairwell. He's going down, and they said, "Okay, it's all clear. Everyone, go back to their offices." And but a bunch of them decided.
Screw it! I'm gone.
Right. And a lot of people did go back up, and a girl that he from Michigan also that was with him, they decided, forget it, we're gone.
Yeah.
And they kept continuing going down, and then the second tower got hit, and he was saying that if it wasn't for that announcement for everyone to go back to their offices, more people would have been killed, because they never would have gotten out of that building.
Yeah.
There were more people that wouldn't have gotten out of the building because it would have been too packed. No one was fitting through the doors.
Yeah.
Everyone was pushing and shoving. And that announcement, a lot of people went back. And granted, those are the people that died, but it saved a lot more people that way.
Yeah. I thought about it before, too. To be in that building at that time. I thought about that. What you would have had to deal with. You know, just sitting there or trying to do something, anything to get out, and watching that thing come down on top of you like that. Millions of pounds of rock and steel.
Well, the thing is, the people who were in that building, who were in the stairwells on their way out, when they, you know, or weren't killed by the initial impact.
Uh-huh.
They people who were below that, they were, you know, working their way out. So they didn't think they were going to die from it. They figured, okay, well, it's up there. I'm going to be able to get out.
Yeah.
You know, as long as the smoke doesn't get me, I'm out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the whole thing comes down.
That's what I'm saying. The whole thing come down on top of them. And I know I saw the tape. I saw it on CNN when they were discussing that. When, I totally forgot his name, Bin Laden was discussing the plan they had to attack. And they didn't even work that into the plan whatsoever. They just wanted to take a couple floors out and scare the hell out of a few people. They had no idea that the fire was going to melt the girders and bring the whole thing down.
That was a bonus to them.
That was a bonus to them.
They were happy.
Yeah, well, yeah, they were happy. That was a bonus to them. Oh, wow, we didn't think that was going to happen. Wow, cool. You know, which is equally as sick. We all know that. But, I mean, some people don't feel this. Some people don't feel this like I do. They don't. And I know I cried that day. I cried with my mother that day. I cried because we were scared. I was scared. What am I going to do if they come in here to my parents' house? What if they come to my family's house? What am I going to do? I'm going to have to fight to the death to defend my family and save my family. And we were all going to have to do that. That's the things that were going through my head. How far are these guys going to take this? How far do they think they're going to take this now?
And we still don't know how far they're going to take
it. We don't know. We don't. Every day of our lives, I think a lot of us have just become numb. I know I've become numb, where I'm just like, look, I got too many things to deal with. On top of this, I can't sit around worrying about if we're going to get attacked by a terrorist or not. You know? And that's one thing. Yeah, we should go on with our lives. Go on with our live your life. Go out and buy a new car. Make the economy strong. I loved hearing about that.
Keep
America rolling. Yeah, yeah. I loved hearing about that. Boy, the car companies they love this crap, dude.
GM did really good on that one.
They did real well with that. I was real excited to see how much they cared. You know, and I know they did. They did. A lot of those companies did step up to the plate, though, too, and they did put a lot of money for it to help out.
And the thing is with...
But that's enlightened self-interest, if you ask me. That's basically just giving a dime to get a quarter back.
But they had to.
Yes, they did.
They had no choice. They had to because they had to keep the American people working. And if it wasn't for those marketing plans that they put in, there might be more people not working today.
That's a very good point. You're right.
Because it could have been more of an impact on our economy than it actually did.
And we still are recovering from this. 2 years! 2 years, man!
Yeah.
That's the cataclysmic impact that had on this country. That event.
The economy was starting to slow down anyway. And that just put that big punch into it and doubled us over for a period of time. But it is coming back up.
No, we're coming. Yeah, I mean everything. Really, I mean, a lot of us should be thankful. We still have jobs. I know. Yeah. I know. I worked right through it. I'm still at the same job.
I'm with a different company, but that was of my own choice.
Yeah.
And I make more money now, and it's a better situation for me.
Yeah, but I mean, I look at all the equations, all the dimensions to this issue, and why this came about like it did anyways. And it's numbing. It really is numbing to try to live through this. And to try to remember, you know, it's not hard to remember that day.
No.
It's not hard for anybody to remember that day.
I know exactly where I was, yeah. What I was doing.
Everybody can tell you exactly what
was
going
with.
On. Yeah. And to this day, a lot of people are still in shock that something like that could happen to our country. Our country, with the strongest military on the planet. They slipped right through. With box cutters.
Yeah.
Box cutters.
I'm sorry, someone has a box cutter to me. I'm going to take him out. He's going down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and play a hard guy on the radio, but, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, these people are on a plane, man. They're on a business trip. They're going to work. They're doing something, and all of a sudden.
Plus, it was rumored that the terrorists said that they had a bomb, and that was the reason why they were able to take over the plane with box cutters, because people were afraid of this bomb that
yeah.
they supposedly had. But in fact, they didn't actually have a bomb.
Yeah.
It was just a way of controlling
well,
passengers.
I'll tell you right now that I'm loving it now. Because every 2 weeks you'll hear about somebody getting stupid on an airplane.
Yeah.
Somebody getting silly on an airplane. It probably has nothing to do with international terrorism. But it'll be like 5 or 6 people will just beat the tar out of the person.
You gotta love it.
Oh, I love it. I think it's great. I think it's great. Because, no, that is people being aware. That's people taking care of business, you know what I mean? And they still don't know what happened to the one plane that landed in Pennsylvania.
They don't know if the passengers actually brought it down.
Yeah.
Or if
I believe they did, because look where it landed.
They're saying the terrorists actually brought it down. Now that's like their official explanation.
Really?
They're saying that the terrorists took it down because they knew they were going to get taken over.
Mm-hmm.
Because the terrorists that were out in the passenger area were overtaken, and they were basically the passengers were basically beating on the cockpit door.
Uh-huh.
And they knew that there was no way they weren't going to get caught.
They're not afraid to die, but they're afraid of a few businessmen that want to get in that cockpit and get a hold of
them. Well, they basically decided against, you know, either die or go to jail for the rest of their lives, or, you know, be put on public display. And
if you ask me, those guys would have never made it to jail.
No.
They would have never made it to jail. They would have mysteriously been killed on that plane. I don't know what happened, officer. The box cutter just slipped, and it ran into his throat. I don't know what happened.
Nobody would have said anything. And if anybody would have went to trial for killing one of them?
I would be moving out of this country.
Yeah.
I'd be moving out of this country.
I'd be saying hi to Max over in Canada.
Yeah, yeah, we'd be in Canada right now going, okay, this is better. This is much better because... you know what? That's the worst part about it right there, Will, is that we can think about that. It's logical to think that way now in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
In this day and age. It's logical to think that way. I mean, I know the one story I did see where a thief breaks into a guy's house. Guy who owns the house wakes up, sees a thief in his house, beats the thief into a pulp, calls the police. Police come arrest the thief. Thief sues owner of house 2 months later and wins for assault and battery.
Yeah.
What the hell has this country come to? What has this country come to?
Because I don't know how a judge could even take a case like that.
They should be laughing. They should be laughing it right out of court. That's what they should be doing. They should have been laughed right out of court. And then the guy should have got another 20 years on his sentence for wasting time of our country.
For being an idiot.
For complete garbage and drivel. That's a joke. And that's the sickest part, though, is it's logical to think that way now. You know, I told you I fell the other day.
Yeah.
I fell the other day.
Yeah, I remember.
Nothing went through my mind. Nothing went through my mind about suing anybody. I just fell. People fall. It happens. I don't care. It was my own fault. I was being stupid. And I fell. But that was the thing that, well, what do these people think that I'm going to do?
Right.
I have no intention.
Like you broke your back.
No, I bruised myself. Big deal.
It'll heal.
Even if I would have broke my back, I would not see any logic in going and going.
You have medical insurance.
I have medical insurance. Half the people that are suing, they don't have any insurance. That's why they're suing.
Right.
I have insurance for that because I go to work every day, and I work very hard to have that. So if I am hurt or I am sick, I don't have to find a scapegoat to pay my medical bills. Why would I sue? But I know a lot of people think, well, God, oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? They fell on my property. Oh, what am I going to do? I could be sued. And people have to worry about this kind of shit now. That's a joke. You fell. Big deal.
you chose to, you know, to do what you did.
I bit it hard. I bit it hard that night.
I would have been there. I probably would have laughed.
Really. Oh, yeah. I was laughing. I got up and everybody's like, oh, my God, are you okay? I'm like, it hurts. Big deal. I'm going to be sore. So what? I fell. I weighed 260 pounds. What do you want? When I hit the ground, I hit hard. And I hit the ground. Big deal. I don't care. And I kept saying it. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm sore. I'm going to be sore. Big deal. But you can't knock someone for caring either, right. You know. But I'm fine. Don't worry about a thing. I fell. Big deal. A lot of people won't do that nowadays. The first thing on their mind, sue.
How much money can I get?
And I can tell you firsthand from that, from my years of bouncing, how many people I had to hear because I grabbed their shirt because they attacked me or tried to gouge out my eyes or try to punch me or try to grab my hair. Would be screaming it when I grab him by the shirt and get him around the throat and carry him out of the bar in the most calm manner I can. I have to hear it the whole way out. I'm going to have your job. I'm going to have everything you own. I'm going to have this. I'm going to have that.
You know, to a lawyer and go, okay, what'd you do?
He attacked me.
I attacked the guy, and then he threw me out.
Yeah.
Well, you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. Shut up. Leave me alone.
We had a guy one night that got rolled in the bathroom, had his nose broken, and it was sitting over on the side of his face on his cheek. They kicked his nose in so hard. Broke his ankle, too. He had blood coming out of it. It broke skin. Bone broke skin. Wasn't sticking out, but the bone broke skin. Blood hanging out there. The gentleman, if that was me, I'd be like just laying there going, oh, my God, I am really hurt now. I need help. All this guy could do is stand there going, Sue! 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 That's all he would say. All he would say. And we're like, you know, hey, this guy, just sit down. Don't be walking on that thing, man. It's already screwed up as it is. Sue! 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 Okay. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's completely amazing. And that's why it goes back to what we were saying, though. Civil rights. Mm-hmm. Sorry, man. When you decide to hijack that plane and try to run it into a building, my opinion is you just gave up every single civil right you ever earned by doing that. Therefore, it's open season on you. And if somebody does accidentally kill you in the process, sorry, there were 70 other lives on here that were completely innocent. They were just trying to take care of business and keep this country rolling like they wanted to. And you would have lost 70 good people. No, we lost 5,000 good people because of that now. Thank you.
If I'm on a plane and they're taking it over, I'm fighting to the death.
You're going to have to. And you're right. Well, I don't think that's a tough guy comment at all. I think that is what you should do. What you should do. You know, and I'm just, the laws in this country are hilarious. Well, you can shoot a guy on your property, but he has to be in the house. Has to be in the house.
Actually, he has to have a gun now.
Oh, he has to have a gun now.
You actually have to ask them if they have a weapon.
Is that what you're thinking about? Do you think that's what you're going to be thinking about?
No.
Do you think that's what you're going to, excuse me, sir, hi, yeah, 3 a.m.
Well, the only thing as well is my gun loaded.
Yeah, 3 a.m. Hey, do you happen to have a gun? Oh, you don't? Oh, okay, well, just go ahead then.
Take what you want.
Take what you want. I mean, there's nothing I can do. Because if I try to stop you, I'm going to be sued for that. So you might as well just take everything. It'd be cheaper for you just to steal my jewelry as opposed to paying a lawyer off.
Exactly. It's messed up.
This show has really went into a weird direction, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. It went to a political show.
It ties into what happened 2 years ago.
Well, yeah.
It ties into what happened. All these equations, people don't look at the big picture a lot of times. They just look at, oh, my God, bunch of filthy, and you hear it all day long, and America, USA, yeah, you know, yeah, great. And then you hear that same guy sitting at the end of the bar walk out and jump in his Nissan and drive away. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're going to, you know, preach it, you better practice it too. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these people don't. All they know how to do is scream and yell and throw on, I like to call them bandwagon patriots. Bandwagon patriots. Because after 9/11, we had a slew of bandwagon patriots. Now, there's nothing wrong with supporting your country in a time of need. You should do that.
But then give it 6 months and they're right back to their same old routine.
There you go. And the only time they're going to think about it is this coming Thursday.
They'll have to. It's on every station.
But I think it was such a catastrophic event, though, that it's hard not to think about it.
True.
It's hard not to think about it.
And we're going
to
think about every 9/11 for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, for the rest of our lives, we will. And our grandchildren, or our children and grandchildren, will be taught about this. It's history. It's a part of history.
Oh, yeah.
We were a part of history. Unfortunately, it wasn't a very positive part of history. But it's something we did learn from, I think, too.
I think it can become a positive part of history, though.
Yeah, because we can learn from it. Like I said, we can learn from that. And someday, when we get a woman president in...
Well, it might happen. Hillary might be running this time.
Oh, God. Except for her. Anybody else. Someday, when we get a woman president, we might not have as many problems as this.
I think so. But I think maybe some other countries might think they can take advantage of her.
No.
Those would be scared.
That third week of the month, man. Don't bother.
She'll be starting wars everywhere, blowing up everybody.
I know that 1 week, and then like the week after. What did I do?
I'm still gonna be contented.
What the hell did I? No, I'm not knocking them at all. I just said I think we should have a woman president.
Oh, yeah.
I think it would straighten a lot of things out. I think we should have a woman president. That'd be very important. I think that would be something. It's something we have to fall upon. And my mother said it yesterday to me. You know, it's still a man's world. I'm like, well, you know, Mom. You know, to a certain extent, things are changing.
Yeah, they are changing.
A lot of things are changing.
All marketing is now geared towards women.
Yeah.
Car commercials, well, most car commercials, depends on the make and model, but most commercials now, if you watch TV, most of the commercials, with the exception of beer and some cars, is all geared towards women.
Yeah. It's all scary, though. It really is. All of it. I mean, in a nutshell, I know everybody was scared that day. And all this insanity ties into that. It does. It really does, because that's part of the whole problem. And I do agree with a lot. I mean, we were talking about that earlier. I'll never agree with killing 5,000 people. But these people, the point is, though, is I do know how we are viewed upon by the rest of the world, well, by the majority of the world. And it's a very unfortunate it has to be that way, because there are a lot of very hardworking American citizens. There's millions and millions and millions of hardworking American citizens out there that should be looked upon every day with honor and pride. And they're walked right over. They're slipped right through the cracks. And we're judged. We're judged by, you know, we're judged by the opinions and decisions of a few people a lot of times.
Yeah.
And I, you know, this country is we the people, for the people. That's all crap, if you ask me. It's all crap.
It was that way when it was made.
Yeah, that's a 200. Yeah, it's a completely archaic constitution. A lot of the pieces of the constitution are completely archaic, and they apply to things that happened back then when it was created, like you said. They don't apply to today's standards, and I think that's being exploited to this day too. And it's very sad. And sure, go out and vote. Okay. We did. We did go out and vote, and look what happened in Florida.
Yeah.
We did go out and vote. Everybody went out and voted. We voted for the best man. What happened? What the heck happened?
Damn hanging chads.
Unbelievable. You know, I mean, either of us are political scientists by any means. Either of us are. I'm just going by what I see around me with the press aside. What I see in everyday life, what I see people do every day. I don't even read the paper anymore. I stopped watching CNN.
I read the sports page.
Sports is good, yeah. Well, that's something you need.
Right.
You need that. But, I mean, I'm trying every day just to try to completely eradicate media out of my life as far as the press goes. Because if you get that, if that's the only opinion you're riding on, you, pardon me for saying it, but that's ignorant. That's completely ignorant.
Yeah.
Because the press, about, I'd say about maybe 5% of its truth. About 5% of its truth. Now, it may have started, and tell me if this sounds familiar, it may have started as a true story, and then it got to the press. And it went to another press, and then another press, and then another press.
Well,
and then it turned into something different.
It's very well known in the Detroit market that there are certain TV stations, newspapers, are politically swayed. Some are conservative, some are liberal, some are moderate.
Yeah.
And so you never know what you're going to get. So you try, if you're going to watch the media, you have to look at all the sides. You have to read every newspaper and see every newscast.
No, you have to look at the truth.
Sides.
I think you have to look at the truth. What's the truth? And that's the biggest problem right there. Is that nobody? The truth seems to be a huge problem. And that's, if you ask me, that's the whole basis of management right there. If you know how to bullshit your way through the truth, or tell someone the truth, but manage to candy coat just the right way, so they swallow that piece of liver with a smile on their face. Hey, you're great for middle management right there. That's your job. Because that's really what it's turned into. Let's sugarcoat everything to the point. What is the truth, though? I want to know what the truth is. And that's what this whole basis of Pioneer Radio is, for one thing. Clyde Lewis, I mean, I'm giving him big props tonight, because this is what he talks about. This is a lot of the stuff he talks about. What is the truth, man? Is that too much to ask, is what the truth is? Yeah, because the truth is going to be something very different from what we're hearing now on the news, so to say. And I believe if the truth did come out, well, it would certainly frost the butt of a lot of the people who are in charge now, who are in power of this country. Because there are interests that we don't know about. I'm sure of that. I know that for a fact. You can see it. You can see it. How can I sit at work, and I know you sit at work too, and we can sit there and brutally be screwed. Be screwed. I'll give you a case example. This is the corporate world at its finest for me. I was due for a 20% increase in July. They would have had to have it. There's a tool we use to increase pay in the mainframe system. It's only opened up for 2 weeks every fiscal period. So what they did, it takes about a week and a half to 2 weeks to process the paperwork to put it into the system. These are things I know for sure. I've actually sat and used these tools. I know. Well, let's see here. If we take and put the paperwork in 3 days before the last day we have to put it into the system, it'll be late, and there's nothing we can do about it, because they close the tool up. So then I have to wait for the next fiscal period to get my raise. And I have to sit there and take that with a smile. And I did, because, hey, I need a job like anybody else does. But that happens to people every day.
Oh, yeah.
That happens to people every single day. And that is, like, literally taking the broomstick, wrapping a piece of sandpaper around it, putting a knife on the end, and shoving it right up there. That's where it is. That's where it is. Brutally, right to my face, saying, yeah, well, you know, we told you we were going to get a raise, but we're not going to give you one. Because we just didn't feel like doing it. Sorry, we couldn't get the paperwork through fast enough.
When I started with the current company I work for now, I was going to be making $1 more an hour than I was making at my previous company. And I started, and I filled out my paperwork, and they told me, okay, well, put right down the amount that you were told you're going to be making. So I did. And it got to corporate, and they dropped it over $2 below what I was making at my previous job.
Yeah.
And I had to call my district manager, and I'm like, hey, listen, you know, I wouldn't have taken this job if this was going to be the case. And he's like, I don't understand how they did that. So
nobody's going to understand.
He had to go to corporate. And he had to get it all fixed, and I had to get back pay.
See, I'm never going to see any back pay on this. I'll never see that. I'm not even going to ask about it because I know for a fact that they would not pay me retroactive on something like that. Sorry, that's just the way the rules are. You're going to have to live with it. Okay, all right, you know. And I got to sit there and take that. And it, I mean, I know there's some of you people out there that are listening to this that have had the exact same thing happen to you. The thing is, though, is that nobody really wants to acknowledge it, though, and think about it. They see it happen and go, okay, yeah, great. Yeah, you know, coming office rat. And it turns into a lifestyle. And it's just the way we have to live. That's just the way things are. Hey, man, I got a mortgage. And hey, you know what? I'm going to have one real soon. And I know the fright that goes
right.
And how scared it is to have a mortgage, how scary it is to have a mortgage. But I think about these things every day now. And I see it around me every day. And my opinions are based on what I see, not what I hear. They're based on what I live and what I experience and what I see. Really, what they are. Not what I hear on the news. Not what I read in the paper. Not what I hear from my idiot cube partner at work. No. Because I really consider that all BS. I do. You gotta base it on what you see and how you take that information in. So it's something for you guys to think about. It is something for you guys to think about. Weird show, again.
It's always weird.
Yeah, these last few shows have been getting very strange, man. But it's something for you to think about, though. Everybody out there to think about. I mean, it isn't always about thinking about the other world. What's going on in this world?
Yeah.
What's going on in this world? That's something really, just people take that in. Maybe you don't agree with us. Maybe you don't agree with me. Maybe you don't agree with Will. Maybe you think everything he just said over the last 45 minutes is complete BS. Fine. What's your opinion? Tell us. Yeah. This is Ghost to Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And we're talking over a voice. We're out of here. Talk to you guys later. Have a good week. Bye-bye.